Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we've got a dog lover here in front of us on the microphones today. Her name is Alicia Schwartz. She's not only a dog lover, she's a dog fanatic. And she's gone so far as to take her passion for animals and create a book out of this. And I think that's absolutely fabulous. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
She's been back. She's been on this program before with your buddy Rose Simoneski. Uh-huh. She's not here today.
She's not. I'm solo.
You're solo. You think you can handle it?
I hope so.
You might get a word in edgewise.
Right?
All right. Alicia, tell us a little bit about you, your background.
Okay. Well, I am the director of Project Safe Pet. It's a local animal rescue that transports animals. We transport to a partner rescue in New Jersey, and then we are part of the Spay Neuter Coalition, which provides low cost, no cost spaying and neutering for community animals. So if people are in need of getting their animals fixed, they can go to our Facebook page and they can fill out the form and we will get them set up. And there are other rescues involved, like Halfway There is involved, Carrie's Cats is involved, Worthy Dog Rescue is involved, and Every Life Matter, which is Rose, is involved. And so we kind of split the bill and split the, you know, the work, and we divide up the bill accordingly to who has so much money, and we pay for people to get their animals fixed.
And that's nice. Good for you all.
It's about 100 and something animals a month. So it's
good Lord.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's probably close to 150 between some of the other programs.
A month.
Yes, just in our area. So we are kicking butt.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. So your passion for animals goes back to what? When you were a little tyke?
Yes, I became a vegetarian because of Charlotte's Web. I wasn't going to eat Wilbur.
Oh, yes. But you told me before we went on the air, you've got how many dogs now?
Well, I had 5, but one just passed away of old age, so I have 4 now.
4.
And I might be taking on one tomorrow that's really old, that was on Facebook and struggling on a chain. And so it has been pulled into a shelter in Dallas, North Carolina. So that one might be coming for a hospice stay.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me at how cruel owners of dogs can be. I mean, this business of leaving a dog on a chain.
With no doghouse,
hardly a thing of water.
No.
On a steamy hot day like today, it's crazy.
Well, we are lucky in our county. York County is very animal friendly. We have good animal laws here. It is illegal to stationary chain animals in our community. And also they have to have shade. So shade is not a doghouse. Shade is either natural shade, such as a tree, or it is a like artificial shade with a tarp. So if people see anything now with the temperature being 100 and it feels like 108, they definitely need to call animal control with an address and the color of the house and what the dog looks like. Call that in. And you can call anonymously as well to make sure, you know, animals are struggling right now if they don't have the proper care.
Do you know, I mean, are a lot of people doing that? I hope they are. I mean, do you know whether or not there's
I feel like our community actually, like, more so than even Charlotte and more so than a lot of communities, there's a lot of animal energy here, and people do, they do call animal control a lot.
That's true.
They do look out. And so, you know, be their voice is kind of what we encourage people to do. But I think our community is pretty good about it.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
I'm glad to hear that. So the whole concept, and we're going to get into your book here in a minute, but I'm trying to set the table.
Yeah.
Because this whole issue of spay and neutering animals is something that's been around for a long time, and it's hard for me to understand how anybody can get a dog, or a cat for that matter, without it being spayed. Now, if you're buying from a breeder, I got that, purebred dog. But I mean, you can't.
So-called accidental litters. Yeah. It's never an accident. We know how it works.
all these organizations you mentioned, there's not going to be a dog or a cat that comes out of there to the next owner without it being spayed, right?
Oh, absolutely. They have to be spayed. And we wouldn't have this problem if everybody was spaying and neutering. And we would love people to put us out of business.
We would
love to move on and do something else. It's pretty heart-wrenching, and since COVID, it's actually gotten worse. We don't know what happened, but the population has really exploded, and it's kind of like we went back 5 years, you know?
Mm. And I don't think there's a day that goes by where something doesn't pop up on my screen where somebody is trying to, they picked up two or three dogs that were just dropped. I mean, somebody has a litter of dogs and they don't know what to do with them, or cats, and they just leave them on somebody else's front door.
Exactly. We need people to be proactive and get their animals fixed before they have puppies and kittens. Our shelter is in dire need of, we are in dire need of a larger shelter, which please, reach out to your county leaders and ask them for that. In addition, for spay-neuter laws, we need that. I think that the accountability needs to be put on owners and not on residents.
When you talk about a shelter, we have a nice facility up in York, but there's been a lot of talk about, is that the right location? Should that shelter be more centrally located where the population is larger so that they could get, more traffic through there to take some of these pets home?
I don't think it would hurt, but the problem is that it's just too small. Like, our population has exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And that, even though the shelter's not terribly old, it's like 20-something years old, our population has grown so quickly that it is not an adequate size. And what happens is when there's a cruelty case and they take all these animals in, they have to hold those animals. So then what happens to the animals that are already there? They have to euthanize good animals, and that's not fair, and it's not fair for taxpayers to have to pay for other people's irresponsible actions.
Now, they try very hard.
Oh, they do.
To be a no-kill shelter.
Oh, it's killing them.
But they can't.
Mentally, it's killing them.
They can't be a no-kill shelter when they've got this volume that they've got.
No, it's hard for them to keep people to stay there, because think about who mentally could stay there and fall in love with the animals and then have to euthanize them. I mean, it's just, it's a community problem. It's a small group of people that create a big problem. You have to think about it. There was a boxer that we rescued, and she had had over 70 puppies in her life.
70 puppies?
Over 70 puppies. She was 8 years old. She had two litters a year. Each litter was 6 to 10. And her puppy across the street was illegally chained. That was fixed after. But she had already had 32 puppies in 2 years. That just shows you how much they can breed and grow.
Promulgate, yeah.
And then you have to think about their puppies having puppies, having puppies, having puppies. So it's a few people causing a big problem. So if we could target, people that are causing the problem by having spay-neuter laws, it's only going to affect a few people. We do it for free, So it doesn't, it's like, why not?
Jeez, Suey.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're offering the spay and neutering service free?
It's free. It's free for people in need. We call it low cost, no cost. You're paying it forward if you can pay so much towards the program. But we don't want to turn people away ever. And we don't want people taking advantage of the program. And we don't think that many do. A lot of times people will say, sure, I can pay 50. I can pay 20. And sometimes people say, I can't do it. I can't show up if I have to pay. And we say, come on, just we'll do it. Most of the people we do for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this is...
this isn't our county.
You obviously have got some veterinarians who are very sympathetic to what you're talking about here and are cutting you a heck of a deal, if
yes.
not providing some of the services free. I mean, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
But if I were to walk in to a veterinarian and say, I've got Rover over here and I want to get Rover spayed, what's it going to cost me?
About $400.
$400?
Things have gotten really expensive. Yes. So now for the spay-neuter clinic, like Healthy Pets, and there's also another spay-neuter clinic, Snip Well. Those clinics are, they are just for spaying and neutering and wellness. So they don't do broken bones and things like that, right. But they do wellness, ear infections, vaccines, you know, or if a dog is just a little sick and needs antibiotics. So those are great clinics to go to if you're on a tight budget, but you don't want to use a low-cost or free program because you feel like maybe you'd be taking advantage of it, then go to Healthy Pets or go to Snip Well, and you can get a very reasonable price.
And that's something. Or if you're going to get your dog through the Humane Society.
Yes, or through the shelter.
Yeah.
You only pay like $75, $85.
Right, $75, yeah. And the dog's got everything.
Yes.
Ready
or through
to go.
A rescue, it is more expensive because they don't get the same prices that you would get through the animal shelter. But it's about $250 to $350 for a puppy, usually, that's going to be spayed and neutered, microchipped, you know, two shots, heartworm checked, dewormed. You know, so you couldn't get that at a regular vet for less than probably $800.
Jeez. All right, so I'm way off the topic here.
Okay,
well, I'm not really.
Sorry.
I mean, you're very passionate about what you're doing. And I would imagine when you're not writing a book, you're doing this all the time.
Yes, right? Unfortunately. Yes.
You've got your hand in every one of these organizations somehow, don't you?
I do. Or I'm in somebody's backyard helping them like yesterday. Yes, it's kind of crazy.
Woo! All right, so what triggered you to say, I'm going to write a book about this, children's book?
I was triggered years ago, probably 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, when I rescued my first dogs. And I got them from a cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky.
Got them from a cemetery?
Yeah, well, I say I got them. I had to really work to get them. They were not going to come to me. So it took a lot of persistence, which persistence is the key to everything, right? So eventually I got them after several months.
All right, let me set stage here. You see these dogs in a cemetery?
I saw them at a farmer's market that was across the street from a cemetery.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. And you were just trying to get them, come on in here, I got a treat for you.
Well, she ran away from me, and then the cashier said, she's with a male. And he was a pointer mix.
Uh-huh.
So in the story, you know, it's based on a true story, so the characters are a little different, but the events are true. Two sisters see these stray dogs, and they know that they learn that they live in the cemetery. So then they recruit their parents, and there's this unexpected surprise in the cemetery. And then there's a pending like snowstorm that's coming their way. And so you have to kind of read the story to find out if they are rescued and what that surprise in the cemetery is. But it took a lot of work.
So the concept of doing this as a children's book versus a regular book, how did that come about?
Well, so I went back and forth, and I talked to the publisher, and we had considered like doing it as a chapter book, but I knew that the pictures would be so would be so fun, and just, I was an elementary school teacher before, so I loved reading children's stories to children, meaningful children's stories, and so it just meant a lot to me to kind of have the pictures, you know, tell a lot of the story.
That's interesting.
So. Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it's been in my head for years.
For years.
So, but writing it and really doing it, you know, and putting it on paper. I mean, the book took a total of a year, learning how to not write so much because I kind of like, as my friends know, I text long paragraphs and I will tell a long story. So kind of consolidating is my problem, you could say. So we worked on that a lot.
Now, when you say we, was it the publisher who was working with you?
Yes, she helped, the editor. Uh-huh.
All right. So you drafted what you thought was a great book.
Yes.
And then you hand it over to the publisher.
Warren
Publishing.
And they
say, it's a great idea, but we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
Yes. They said, in order for us to take your work, we need it to be a children's story, which has to be shorter. And so we had to shorten it. And my mom, who was an English teacher and a journalist, and she helped me, which we would talk on the phone and we'd say, hey, we can take that word out. We could take that word out. And then the editor would go back through and she would take a few more words out. And so I really learned a lot about the process and that you can tell a story using less words than you think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understand what you're talking about. So Did you ever get to one of these editing conversations where you say, where you would say, no, absolutely not. That's got to stay in.
Oh, I was like ridiculous about the people's names. I was like, no, we have to keep Julie and Kay, their names. And there were some things, and I wanted to really make sure that we kept the lost dog signs, because that would be teaching children how to, what to do if their dogs were lost. So there were some things that I was, you know, very adamant about, because it kind of went with my rescue, you know, what I've learned from rescue.
So. All right, so you get the book done. Took you about a year.
Yes.
But the whole, the other part of the book is all these pictures and the beautiful artwork. Who did all that?
So Elena Pisco did the artwork, and you can pick your artist through the style that you're thinking of, and you go through this amazing catalog, you know, online catalog, and of artists. And this is what I liked about Warren's publishing model, is that you actually have a little say in that, you know, and so that was nice. So when we saw her work, we kind of were able to work with her and send some pictures. I would sketch some ridiculous looking picture, but I had it in my mind, and then she would kind of translate it to a really nice illustration. And because some of, you know, a lot of, well, not a lot of it, almost all of it was real, like once, well, I don't want to tell the story, so but some of the scenes were real, and
we,
so
we
I
want John
to
read the story, you know. This is right up his alley.
Yes, because it's not just a children's
story. We're
going
to get his wife Jerry to read it to him tonight.
Yes, she can read it to bed tonight, and he can go to bed happy. But I mean, it's also a story for animal lovers. So I mean, it's just a, you know, it's not just for children. It really is for an animal lover would appreciate it.
Well, I would imagine an animal lover who has children.
Yes.
Would really love it.
Would really love it.
Really.
Absolutely.
Love to have this, yeah.
And we've my husband has teared up a few times, and some of my friends, you know, reading it. So that makes me feel good, because I thought maybe it was just me. But, well, my husband's connected to the story as well. But my friends, you know, teared up a little bit, you know. So I won't tell too much of the story.
So you mentioned your husband.
Yes.
Now, is he into all this dog stuff like you are?
Well, he was trained well, because
you trained him well.
I trained him well. We trained well because we met in college. So so he was, you know, he kind of knew, like, you see a dog, you pull over. So he just he would do that. He's you know, he was in school when his friend said, "Oh, is your wife going to kill you for picking up this dog?" And he was like, "No, no, she'll be glad."
So he would bring home dogs too.
He would. Yeah, he saves turtles, dogs. He does it all too.
Turtles,
yeah.
And dogs.
And he helps financially to support some of my expensive animal habits. To help.
Yes, I can see if you're spay and neutering that many dogs, that's a bunch. That's a bunch. All right, so the Cemetery Dogs, that's the name of the book.
Yes.
It's available, like, everywhere? Like?
It's available everywhere. It's available at Warren Publishing Company, which, if you want to help local or, you know, small business. But it's also available on Amazon, and you can order it at, through Barnes & Noble or any place that sells books, you can order it.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. All right. Well, we're going to have to take our mid-program break and remind everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2, which, of course, is fresh subs and salads, and we do it every day of the week. Our program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. So now, Alicia, there is a reason we have him here. John has mastered these letters in white, and he is going to lead us in the chant. Because this is what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. We even got the Brain Trust from Winthrop University over here. Are we ready at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. John Reinhardt is again interrupting the program because he wants Alicia to see his dogs. Three Great Danes.
Love it. So beautiful.
Your grand dogs.
I have grand dogs.
Okay.
Too.
Now, I got a grand dog. It's not Three Great Danes, but anyway. So Alicia Swartz is with us today. She is a local author. She's from Fort Mill. She's written a book called Cemetery Dogs, which is based on a true story.
Yes.
But it's in a children's book format.
Yes.
It's available. It's got a hardback. It's a very nice book.
It comes in hardback and soft cover. For now, on Amazon, it's in hardback. But it can be purchased through Warren Publishing Company, which is local, or through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can order it. And the book is The Cemetery Dogs is for children and for adults that love animals.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, as you say, this seems to be a very animal-friendly county that we live in. And you know, when you talked about the success that you all have had with your groups in getting the county to do away with that, I mean, put
the
that chain law in place. Is there anything else that you think needs to be done?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh boy, open a Pandora's box.
We're definitely not done. So we do have, it is illegal to stationary chain dogs. They can be on a runner, a trolley line. They do have to have shade during... I think it's from like March to October. They have to have shade. It can be artificial shade, meaning like a mesh shade tarp, which you can purchase on Amazon. They're very inexpensive. Or you have to have like natural shade with a tree. You also need to have fresh water. People need to remember that water gets very hot in a metal bowl. Mm. So you should always have a plastic bowl in the shade. Check your water. Mosquitoes lay eggs in water. We have seen green water, mosquito-filled water, and the poor... You know, animal control officers see this too much. They see filthy water, people that don't pick up after their dogs, so their dogs are living in filth, like feces, which attracts flies, which then eat their ears. They literally eat their ears, so then they have bloody ears. So there's just, you know, there's a lot that goes with being a pet owner. And if your animals aren't inside, it's not something we would ever promote. We believe they should be part of the family inside. But if they are outside, please make the accommodations. Please, please. Or else it's like being tortured.
Well, you had mentioned to me that you're taking in another dog
tomorrow. Yes.
I mean,
unless something changes, but I have already told them that our organization would take it. It is a dog that has been on a chain. They say that it's 14 years, its ears are bloody, and it was digging a hole to get into. It's not in our county because it probably would have never gotten that far if it was in our county. People would have called on it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, unless somebody didn't see it. But I feel like people do call animal control, and so a big shout out to our animal control. They work hard, they're understaffed, they see the most horrific things. They need a bigger shelter, and we need spay-neuter laws.
And what is this fascination that we seem to have in parts of South Carolina for dog fighting?
I know.
What is with this?
It's just it's a mentality. Like we won't go and talk to people and say, "Hey, we see this pit bull. It's young. It's running up to you," and we're like, "Please let us get it fixed. We'll even help you build a fence if we can get this dog fixed, and we'll do it for free." We were giving out $100 to get some pit bulls fixed for free, and which is ridiculous. We couldn't even get that many people to show up. So it's a mentality of people thinking that they're going to sell them and make money off of them. What happens is a lot of them end up with parvo. They can't afford the shots, you know, or they get to another location and they die. They can't afford the care. They don't realize how hard it is to care for a litter of puppies, you know, and that the mom has to be healthy. She can't be, you know, she can't be filled with parasites to be able to give milk off for enough puppies. So it's really about breaking this cycle. And I will say that SLED has a new division that is kicking butt around South Carolina, and they are getting these dog fighters, and it is amazing. So we have seen more than we have seen in years. So people that are dog fighting, they need to stop, because you're going to get caught, especially now with this division. I just can't
imagine treating an animal that way. I mean, because they're basically training these dogs,
yes,
to be mean, to go after,
yes,
other dogs.
And they can't a lot of times because it's not in the dog. And, you know, it's just so sad because the dog fighting and the breeding of pit bulls, the obsession with pit bulls is just so sad because these are great dogs. I mean, we can, you know, the director of Halfway There has four pit bulls that just love everybody, love all dogs. Some of them came from very bad situations just around the corner from here. They came from very bad situations, and they live with her children. They are amazing. And if only everybody would, you know, treat them better.
Well, they've gotten a bad rap, that's for
they've
sure.
They've got a bad rap. If you put a bunch of labs in a terrible position where they were chained and they were starved, covered in fleas, you would have dogs behaving, labs behaving a different way as well.
Exactly.
So,
right.
But I will say it is amazing to me how forgiving and how poorly dogs can be treated and still be so awesome.
Well, it's just like a human being. If you put an arm around somebody and show them you care, it's amazing,
exactly,
what the result is, isn't it?
Exactly. And with children, you know, just taking an interest in caring.
So there's nothing better than to have a pet in the house. And I tell you what, if you got kids, I don't know how you can have a family without a dog.
I know. They bring so much joy. And I will say, when you're looking for a dog, sometimes people have this idea like, oh, I've got to have this lab or labradoodle. Well, they have a lot of energy.
No.
So, you know, it's what people need to be thinking of is like, you know, go to a rescue or, you know, and ask them, or a shelter, and ask them, hey, we've got kids, we're busy. And they're going to probably kind of gear you or guide you towards a dog that's more middle-aged or 3 years old, that's a little bit easier to care for.
Or go to the Humane Society.
Yes.
We have Mary Beth on every Monday morning giving an update on these dogs.
There's
available.
There's so many dogs. They have so many dogs right now.
And they've got
so many great dogs. I mean,
they do. And they know the backgrounds on these dogs. They know the pros and the cons.
And you can meet them.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many available. And they do so much. They pull so many animals from the shelter. They're really great. And Megan, I mean, we just a shout out to them for sure. They took a dog that that was so sweet. They had a space open up and they took the dog, and it's probably going to get adopted so quickly. It was just maybe a year old there, and darling.
Good.
But there's so many out there that need homes.
All right. The book once again is called The Cemetery Dogs. The author is Alicia Schwartz.
Yes.
You can get it at Amazon. You can get it from Warren Publishing. You can get it wherever you want to get it.
Yes. You
it's
can
good
order
for
it
mom,
wherever.
Dad, or the kids.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a children's book, and it looks delightful. Great.
Yes.
Congratulations on your book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And part of the proceeds will go to the Spay-Neuter Coalition.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Thank you. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented, of course, by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. You know, he's still hanging around here. I guess he doesn't have any real estate to sell today. Must be a slow day in real. Too hot to show a house, right? Okay. We do fresh subs and salads. We do them 6 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we abuse anybody. We don't care who they are. All right. So at the count of three, how the heck do we do what we do here? Ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful hot day. Come on into Substation 2. It's cool. We'll see you here tomorrow. Bye.